your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
To you live from the phantom shores of the Hudson River. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we are unveiling the different shades of you and the different shades of me, until we all vibrate the same frequency. And we got a crescent moon tonight. I think it's in Libra. And we got a lot of craziness upon us. And I want to talk about tonight too, the state of the world that we're in and the energy that we've been feeling since the solar eclipse. And, you know, you can find us at ParaXRadioNetwork.com here. You can find us at TheMysticalSpiral.com. And basically, why I call this Spiral Radio is that many ancient cultures, including the Mayans, believe that everything with an essence exists inside this giant macro spiral. Everything with a soul essence exists, everything with a material form exists inside this macro spiral that rises right next to the Pleiades. And everything with a material form and that exists inside this mystical spiral of life. And anything without an essence exists outside of that spiral. And I feel that there are artificial outside ultra intelligences that are different, no divine spark, let's put it that way, and they are trying to interweave with our spiral of life, with our macro spiral. And you know, this is not just a thought, you know, this is backed up with scientific evidence as well. If you look it up, there is a wormhole next to the Pleiades, there is a spiral, you know, a spiral galaxy churning, you know, inside of the cosmic sea. And we exist inside this spiral of life. And I feel that these storms that are upon us, what's taking place has already happened before. It's all happened once before. And I feel that what's taking place now is sort of like we're acting out a script that's been laid out for us in a way. And what ancients have called dragons, what some have called gods, I feel are all examples of ancient technologies and ancient entities that we just couldn't fathom at the time or describe. And quite possibly that what we see as dragons are actually an artificial intelligence, an ultra intelligence that can tap into the holographic memory, the holographic encyclopedia that we have in recorded inside of our planet and within the different layers of our existence. And lately I've been getting a lot of different readings from people. People have come to me for readings, and as I've been doing more readings over the years, over the last few months, I've become way to a higher level, I guess, or more, you know, I guess with all things in life, when you do it repetitively and you have repetition, you become more successful at it. And I think because of the times I've spent reading and listening to others and working with humans and interacting with the human psyche, I've got an interesting peek into who we are and how we act. And so the last few readings I've done, I've been really tapped in a higher way than most times. I mean, I've always had a good connection, some sort of magnetic attraction to the person. But as of late, I've been getting people coming to me that do readings for a living. And they're coming to me for a reading for themselves. So at first I was like, is this a thing out of respect? Or is it they're trying to see what I've got? Or like trying to see how I do things? Is it more of, you know, more of an interest in who I am? Or are they really seeking a reading because they respect my abilities or something like that? So when I stopped letting my ego get in the way and I actually just focused and not worried about why they were coming to me for a reading, I started to really get some great results. And the last few readings I've done, I've gotten a little peek onto what's going on this planet, I feel, and what's taking place. And this, you know, if we are a collective consciousness, right, that means we are sort of like a hive ourselves, right, a hive mind. You know, so we are linked like an internet, all of us. If we have a collective consciousness and we are one in some ways and we all can feel and experience things on a similar level and on a collective level, then in some way, as a species, we are sort of like a hive and we are sort of like biological computers. Biological robots, you know, and I feel that we are a step further and we have this divine spark inside of us and we're almost like primates with souls downloaded into us in a way, you know. And it's anybody who says that they have this all figured out, I feel is you should be scared of, you know. I'm not saying I have the answers to everything or anything for that matter, you know, but I feel that through a collective thoughts and discussions, we can figure this out together. And this last few readings I have, you know, I keep it confidential, but I could give you a little perspective on certain glimpses that I had that had actually nothing to do with the person I was reading. Just certain things that I pulled in during the reading when I'm tapping in and there's, you know, and when someone taps into something, you know, it's to me, it makes me wonder what we're tapping into. You know, are we tapping into some sort of artificial construct, some sort of artificial intelligence as well? Because I feel that most channelers, the channeling information is coming from some outside artificial intelligence, some like ultra computer in a way, some ultra intelligence, and they are feeding them stuff that they've pulled in from the holographic universe, from the recording, the Akashic records, you know, the grand hall of records. And if you're a biological machine in a way and you can interweave with species and DNA and consciousness, then maybe you can replicate it as well, and maybe you can, you know, form and push things into matter and learn how to manipulate matter, and this is all a technology. And some of the stories that I've dug up and some of the experience I've had, I think pretty much back up those claims. So when I was doing a reading the other night, I was first able to tap into a traumatic event in the person's life really well. I told them the age they did it at, and I told them, you know, a certain event that happened. And while I was – after I did that, and the woman responded, and she was really emotional, then I caught an image of what I feel was Puerto Rico. And what I feel happened in Puerto Rico was not by a random storm, but by design. And I feel that these areas, even though Puerto Rico is considered part of the United States in a way, you know, it's a lot harder to reestablish a society in Puerto Rico and Mexico than it is in the United States. Even though we are still repairing Katrina, I just think those areas are even less prepared to handle them than we are. And in a geographic location where it's easier to create a storm maybe and manipulate the weather. But I feel that it was by design for a few reasons. One of them being that there are time gates and portals beneath of Puerto Rico, very important ones. And I feel that the way the storm was upon it, and Mexico and certain areas, that they were hitting this area for a certain reason, because they needed that area, the electricity to be down, all of these things to be just wiped out for a certain period of time for them to accomplish some sort of mission that they have. Because I feel with this solar eclipse, we lost some, if you want to call it AI or outside alien intelligence, lost access to some of our timelines. We have holographic spiritual timelines running simultaneously for each one of our lives. And all of us have different timelines all running simultaneously, I feel, you know, and I've caught glimpses of this. So I feel that this ultra intelligence is able to tap in to our timelines. And that with this solar eclipse, some sort of shift happened where they lost access to certain time gates and certain things that are beneath Puerto Rico. And I feel even the government was saying, oh, we're not going to have electricity for 4 to 6 months. This and that. I don't even watch the news. I heard a few things from some people. And I don't have TV either. So I don't watch TV. I don't read the papers. I have satellite radio in the car, and I have the internet, but I don't really hear news too much. But I feel it was by design because of what's beneath Puerto Rico, and they needed the electricity, computers, technology, all to be out for a certain period of time. And they're even saying projecting in the collective consciousness, oh, we're not going to have electricity for 4 months, 6 months. So preparing people for it collectively so they accept it. You know, and if we were out of electricity for 4 to 6 months in America, I feel 70% of us would die within those 4 to 6 months. That's what I feel. And I think that if we had no more electricity, not only would the pharmaceutical industry and all of the people on addiction pills and opiates and medicine, there would be a complete chaotic mess upon us. No access to money, no access to food. And even if you did stockpile food, even if you did stockpile weapons, what are you going to do when a wall of water comes over your house? What are you going to do with a flood upon you? Food doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's all about getting to higher ground, you know, and there's no surviving a wall of water. There's no stockpiling food in a wall of water. And it would be like the chat room is saying, a Walking Dead, but without the zombies. And the zombies would be the people without their medication, you know. And let me see some of the questions that we got going in the chat. A Okay, Rod, do you think Smith is trying to again your trust by giving you a glimpse similar to kids behind telly? Not sure what you mean. But, yeah, like, this little glimpse I caught as well the same night, I caught an image of a group of people sitting together and, like, collectively projecting into the subconscious of humanity for Trump to be assassinated and for Trump to be taken out. And, you know, I think that there a certain group of people are trying to manifest this within our society. And I also feel that Trump is aware of this, and Trump is a shrewd businessman. And it's quite possible, because lately I've been getting certain things coming to me about shadow sacrifices and this and that. And I don't think I'm being led to research certain topics just by chance and on a whim. I feel that it is directly related to what's going on upon our species and on our planet and who we are and our humanity. And that I've been given these certain messages to put the pieces of the puzzle together, so maybe I can talk about it and we can all talk about it and we can try to figure things out. Because I was talking recently about what a shadow sacrifice is. And what a shadow sacrifice is basically the opposite of a voodoo doll. And I feel that not only is it beyond using a doll, they are actually using human bloodlines as shadow sacrifices. So let me try to explain real quick. A shadow sacrifice is this. A certain person, if they did not want to experience pain or damage, if someone, say, was an upperclassman or an elite or an emperor or a president or a high priest or a high dark priest or a high society member, right? And they knew that a lot of people would be after them, wanting to hurt them, take what they have, put spells upon them. Possibly assassinate them, they knew that they would be a target. So they would make a doll as a shadow sacrifice. So if somebody was to try to inflict pain on the person, they wouldn't feel the pain. The doll would feel the pain. If someone was to shoot the person, the doll would end up with the bullet wound. So that's what a shadow sacrifice is. Now, I feel it's gone way further. That shadow sacrifices are now being used in human form, and that certain bloodlines are created and bred for the sole purpose of being purchased by an elite as a shadow sacrifice. So, and the bloodline most likely over the years and through the generations lost the knowledge of them being a shadow sacrifice. Most likely at one time they were actually treated as a being a thing of honor to be chosen as a sacrifice for a higher up, but it lost its juice over time, and people realize that it's crazy and evil, and I think that the knowledge was lost. Certain bloodlines are still being used, you know, as shadow sacrifices, but the knowledge is lost and they're not even aware of it. So a mother will be impregnated by design, you know, being led to a certain person, or they would find out, you know, I think impregnating a person on purpose, and they would be raising a child. The child would be getting mysterious sicknesses, mysterious illnesses. All of a sudden, it couldn't walk or this or that or lose its sight. And it's because this child was purchased for its genetics, because they are a bloodline of a shadow sacrifice. And that if an elite or an emperor or a ruler, you know, was choosing this child as its sacrifice, if that ruler was going to be assassinated, the child would actually die instead. And that's what a shadow sacrifice is. And I feel that Trump may have purchased a shadow sacrifice somewhere over his career, if not right before his presidency, and that this is knowledge that's out there amongst the elites, and they're aware of this, and that maybe Trump has even purchased a shadow sacrifice for himself. And I know that's a big statement because it's just a speculation. I'm not saying it's true, but it quite possibly could be. And Let me see in the chat room if we got anything going on. I know there's a lot of comments here. Yeah, Masaki in the chat room saying that thousands of witches do monthly spells to protect the world from Trump. And witches around the world have come up with a binding spell that they believe will help protect the world from President Trump's agenda, according to the owner of a prominent occult store in Hollywood. That's interesting. That's pretty crazy. Well, you know, I've also been aware of other some members close to me and my family that are passed away now told me that in the 1960s that they attended a party with other covens from New York City. And one of them was Yoko Ono. And Yoko Ono had a couple of times for a weekend had a guest with her, and that guest was a young Hillary Clinton. And that specific coven was known for using menstrual blood in food and bewitching people and using dark magic. So one only can speculate what Hillary knows and what she's done and what kind of spells she's done, and or if she's even human anymore. There is this entity called Mulungro and the seven faces of Mulungro. And basically this is like an alien barb virus that enters your body. And, you know, this Mulungro is called by many names. Some in maybe Christianity you could call it the devil, you know, in Christianity. I mean, it goes by many names. But Mulungro is, some call it, you know, basically it's like an ancient alien barb, almost like an alien virus, an AI virus. And it can be entered the body and become like an out of control poisonous arrow that pierces generation upon generation of your family. And its poison will seep into your infrastructure and your fibers and be genetically inherited. And this poison will spread and it will feed on its own likeness. Its people are its host. And the only way to get rid of an entity like this is to abruptly stop hosting it. And in Kabbalah, they call it the Kliphoth. You know, that's basically the same thing. And in Christianity, it's like the devil. You know, and in certain history, in like the 15th and 16th century, even in Machiavelli's work, they spoke of something like this. And it's basically an entity that uses manipulation as a tool, and it denies that individual the right to be an individual. Okay, it assures its victim will be and remain emotionally and psychically and crippled. Put it that way, emotionally crippled. And Mulungro is basically like a virus that has, they say, seven faces, the seven faces of Mulungro. And their greed, envy, guilt, expectation, denial, deceit, and assumption, assuming. And the only way of getting this out of your psyche is to stop hosting it abruptly and immediately. And you shouldn't, you know, like, let me give you an example of this entity. If someone gets drunk and they start to black out in a way, the seven faces of Mulungro will appear and they will do things that you wouldn't normally do. And they will involve you also putting these faces onto others as well. And you will use these faces to abort the truth. And you will use them to take advantage of people. And you will use them to create a vice around their psyche and manipulate them and have them thinking you're a great person when you're really trying to infest them and infiltrate them. And it's a disease of the mind. It's an archonic influence that makes you think it's your own thoughts, but it's really this entity, this AI virus into the system of you and into your body's system. And it's basically a killing machine of the soul. And I feel that most politicians have a form of this AI entity in their consciousness, and most people in some degree have experienced this entity at one point in their life. And I feel it's a virus in your system, almost like a computer virus that needs to be audited out and basically stop hosting it, you know. And the only way it can be upon you is by you hosting it and you know letting it be there. And that's the seven faces of Mulungu, and what I feel is upon Hillary Clinton as well. And this entity is hell bent on making you emotionally crippled. And you know, there's been a dark cloud over us ever since this solar eclipse. And when we come, I know we're going to go to break in a few minutes. So when we come back from break, I want to get into how I feel the dragons have been a technology that has been upon us for thousands of years, and what they call Soma and the golden embryo, and what this quite possibly could be that they're describing and what it is. And, you know, I was mentioning how it's quite possible that they need the electricity to be out for 4 to 6 months in Puerto Rico. And, you know, when I had that guest Jorge Martin on, I had him on a few times. You know, I hope he's all right. I haven't spoke to him since all of this. But he was talking about how certain creatures were coming out of these gateways or portals that would open up. And some are beneath the ground as well. And they would be these ancient-looking saurian-type flying dinosaur beings. Not only that, but also like a what we could almost see like a reptilian with wings as well, like a humanoid-type one. But one of the creatures he described flying out of these portals looked like a pterodactyl. So I do feel that Puerto Rico contains time gates, and certain time gates open up at certain periods of time, and you know, things might slip through from another timeline, and that's how we're seeing pterodactyls flying through the sky all of a sudden out of nowhere, and that something has taken place over the last few weeks or months or even years, that there has been a disruption in these time gates. And that certain access has been lost, and that something more deep is going on in Puerto Rico. And unfortunately, the elites of the world and whatever entity is involved are willing to sacrifice their lives to do this. And maybe the sacrifice of life is part of the dark enchantment and the technology involved. Maybe the bloodshed. You know, blood is a powerful elixir, and maybe it's used in dark magic rituals for planet gods, you know, for higher influences. And you know, when we come back from break, we're going to get deeper in this, and we're going to go further down the spiral. The song is called Sun Grip from my old band Bring the Dawn, and we'll be back after this and spiral out.
Just the shell you crawl. You swallow, you bite, you spit the shell you crawl. Spit the shell you crawl. You spit, you bite, you spit the shell you crawl.
You speak to me in colors. Your speech can paint.
And yes, I know. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back. And my name is Ra, and we are on Para-X Radio Network, and this is Spiral Radio. And that song was called Sun Grip by Bring the Dawn. And, you know, we were talking before about certain dark forces that may be upon this planet. And how basically our spirit world, our spirit body, you know, there are certain technologies that seem like magic. And on in our spirit plane, I feel that some of these technologies and some of this things that we call magic have been replicated and have been used by an artificial intelligence to seem like reality, when it's actually a replication of reality. And I think some of these machines in the past have been called dragons, and that some of these machines, biological machines, have learned to manipulate DNA and have been able to create certain entities that can push themselves to matter on our physical plane. And let me see in the chat room, Isaac had asked, is it best to stay grounded and balanced during these times, 24/7 more than ever now? Yes, and you know what? I would recommend every morning going outside, because every night when you go to sleep, you're going to pick up, in general, you're going to pick up astral debris and certain residual debris from your dream time, your soul time, who you are in your spirit body. Not only that, but you pick up energy from people throughout the day, and you pick up all types of bacterias and everything throughout the day, you know, little resentments and insecurities and everything that you accumulate throughout your day. So and your dream time. So I would think every morning to go outside and do some sort of grounding. I know if you look back in our archives, the last time Masaki was on, he gave some good grounding techniques. I always talk about how I like to picture my body as like an intergalactic highway, and that your arms are like the two tunnels going, you know, that you drive through, like these hollow tunnels, and let all the bad stuff flow out of those tunnels, like your arms are hollow, and push that deep down into the earth, like with your palms down while you're sitting there, and, you know, nice deep breathing, and just empty all of the bad, and empty it deep into the earth while you're breathing deep, and just let the earth replenish and get up and leave afterwards, and, you know, and stay grounded, you know, and grounding. You see what's going on the earth. I mean, you see the rage and the violence and everything that's just getting, you know, it's intoxicating people, and they can't even explain why. And, you know, it's interesting you say the guy Simon Parks too, because I don't really like talking about other people too much, but I remember I had viewed Simon Parks one time, and I saw he was speaking to a crowd, because he was into some kind of political stuff in his town as well, and then he became into like the UFO scene afterwards, Simon Park, and now he's into the whole mantis and alien scene, and I feel that he's completely hosted, and he is hosting one of these AI manted infections. And I saw him one time in a vision speaking to a crowd that was full of skeletons, like there was no humans alive in the crowd. He was talking like everybody was alive, but he was talking to a sea of death. And then all of a sudden, all these cockroaches came flying down and running on the ground. Like thousands of them were coming out of the crowd. And they were going right to where his legs were, and then up his pant leg and into a hole in the back of his head. And they were filling his whole body, these cockroaches. And it was a crazy sight. But now he's like talking at all these UFO places, and people go to him for readings, I think, and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, man. I don't really. Why would I be in danger for speaking about Simon Parks? I'm not worried about anything about that. But yeah, no, I just talk about what I see sometimes. And, you know, like I said, I'm not saying anything I ever talk about is the truth. It's just certain glimpses I see, and certain opinions. And you know, I don't ever talk about, like I said, too many other people sometimes, but I have caught a glimpse of Simon before, and I've never talked to him personally, but I have some friends that have. And he's an alien. I don't think he's into like alien abduction and that kind of scene. And I think that he has had some real experiences. But over the course of his experiences, I feel that he is no longer Simon. And that's about all I'm going to say about that. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But it's also, too, you can almost feel like when he speaks sometimes, it's like the alien is talking. You know, it's like it's kind of weird. Sometimes when people channel, too, I feel like when they're tapping in, like it's like you see some sort of artificial intelligence taking over. And, you know, this information can't just be made up like that. You know, so they are tapping into something. But it's like, what are they actually tapping into? Especially even with me, with certain visions I've had, I get nervous sometimes, and it makes me wonder, like, what are we actually tapping into? What is this? You know, is this some sort of machine or, you know, a huge computer that we are tapping into, or, you know, because it can't be that we're all making this up. You know, it's something that's there, but it's the question of what it is. And when someone starts talking like they know what everything is, that's when I get scared, you know. But look up in the chat room, Choo Choo, look him up. That's Wong, I think, right? Yeah, Wong, look up. I'm sure you've researched the guy before. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person that has said that. I don't really research Simon Parks, but all of my inner circle that I've ever talked to in this field all says the same thing as me. So it's not like I'm saying stuff that nobody's ever said before. It's been said for years. But the guy still has a big following. I'm sure. I think he still sells out like UFO conferences and things like that. People want to hear the information. It's just that people tend to, when they hear certain information that intrigues them, and then something resonates with them, then they'll believe that person for 100%, no matter what they say. Always, they become sort of like a guru to them, and that's where I got to draw the line. Like I don't like when people all of a sudden, because they've had a few. All of a sudden, they went from talking about they've been abducted by aliens. Now, all of a sudden, they're some kind of guru with a following, like they've done something special. I don't understand how someone gets famous over going through a traumatic experience. That doesn't make you a hero, just because you had you said you saw an alien. So I don't get it. That's the angle I'm coming from. Is that okay? Maybe you should be recognized that you did something, you know, in politics or something in the community, but I don't think you should be really recognized because you saw a freaking mantis, or you said you saw a human praying mantis. I mean, it's an interesting story, but I don't think it qualifies you as being a guru, you know, or anyone to be a guru for that matter, because the only person that's going to heal you is you, and that's the bottom line. I mean, you can believe in stuff, but you have the power within you to heal, and you know, that's the only way you're going to truly heal, is by healing yourself. And if you're looking for others to heal you, then you've already gotten sicker. And that's how I feel. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Mount Meru, and how this might even be a technology, and how dragons have been associated with this as well. And there was something else I wanted to talk about. Oh, yeah. There was a few things. Man, we only got 15 minutes left. Yeah, I'm going to have to do that another time. But maybe we'll stick to just one topic now, because there's a few things I wanted to bring up tonight, too, about these ancient giants, too, that are – actually, I found a connection with Lake Nemi with these ancient giants as well. And I'll be on as well tomorrow night on my other radio show that I just started – on Truth Frequency Network. I'll be on that Saturdays for 2 hours, and that's from 7 to 9 Eastern, and that's on the Truth Frequency Network. That's the Eye of Ra. So I'll be talking probably more about these topics tomorrow, but I have a guest tomorrow. It's Paris Tassin, who's been on this show a few weeks ago. And so let me just go through that. Maybe I could talk about that for a minute, because with this giants that I found with Lake Nemi, and because the dragon story with Mount Meru is kind of long. I don't know if we can get into that right now, but basically with Lake Nemi, Lake Nemi is called Diana's Mirror, and it's where my family is originated in Italy, but the lake itself is an ancient volcanic crater, a mystical lake, and certain priesthoods have been associated with this lake for thousands of years. And the whole priesthood was designed to protect certain secrets regarding this lake and the entities and gateways that reside within and beneath the lake, and time gates that are beneath the lake, similar to that in Puerto Rico. And there's something about an ancient volcanic crater and the memory water within it, and the water memory And somehow between the minerals and materials and the ancient volcanic, you know, crater and this ancient memory in the water, something, some kind of time gates or portals, or I'm not sure, you know, I can't really explain it, but somehow there's a portal that activates. And it's basically technology that involves a tree as well. And in Lake Nemi, there's an ancient oak tree that is evolved. And there's also a version of an ancient walnut tree that's in astral form that emerges besides the lake. And this is in my family lore. And this ancient tree is like technology. It activates a portal that opens beneath the lake. And it's like an entranceway to other timelines and other dimensions and other spiritual timelines, let's put it that way, in the spirit world. And there's certain entities that will divert you off your course. Some call them the Fae. Some call them all different things. But this is where you encounter these other entities. And Caligula went crazy digging holes beneath this lake, worshiping the lake, developing temples next to the lake. He developed barges on this lake that contained technology that they didn't have for hundreds and hundreds of years after Caligula. He did contact certain beings that we call the Grigori or the Watchers. And he did have contact with a being that some call Sylvanus or Faunus, Dianus. There's a lot of names for this being. And there was a whole priesthood that had to go. Let me see. There's one question. Yeah, that's a good question. Serge in the chat room was questioning, which American lake do you think is portally connected to Lake Nemi? Similar to Hopi, Tibet, Agartha connections. Okay, yeah, so I don't know if you could say that a lake is connected to Lake Nemi here, but there are certain places that are connected to Lake Nemi throughout the world. And one of them being in California, in Long Beach. Another being somewhere near Tibet or in and around Mount Kailash. And there are also, I feel, access to alternate timelines. And there are entities that some have called Goetia, or evil spirits or the djinn that have been imprisoned beneath this lake. And I'm not saying like you could dig a hole beneath the lake and find entities. I'm talking that a gateway will open up to another dimension, and it will be another holographic kind of universe that opens up. It's not something that, like, even Caligula, like, he started digging tunnels and he went mad. And even Mussolini developed a whole aqueduct system and things with this lake, because he was building caves underneath the lake for worship and all types of things too. So many people have been infected by the enchantment of this lake. It wasn't called Diana's Mirror for no reason. And basically, Mars, he was originally called the guardian of the forest and the sacred groves and the boundaries of the fields, you know. And he was not only celebrated in Rome, but all over. And some knew him as Mars Sylvanus. And basically, Sylvanus was like a Roman god of the woodlands, and he was associated with the god Mars, and he was like a giant that would arise with his club. And It's not a coincidence that Nephilim are described as having these clubs as well, these giants with clubs. There is, I don't know about a bottomless pit in a chat room, they're actually about a bottomless pit in Long Island, New York, but there are, in Montauk Point, the ancient Montauk Indians, and they don't mind being called Indians, actually, the New York ones, they actually call themselves Indians. So the ancient Montauk Indians, there is said to have been pyramids of Montauk, even pyramids and caverns deep beneath Montauk. And the Montauk Indians protected this. They actually would call their chiefs pharaohs, and they would call them, I forget the actual name for it now. Peter Moon was always saying it. I forget the name for it now. It slipped my mind. But, damn, I can't think of it. It's really bothering me now. But yeah, so these Montauk Indians, they would call their chiefs pharaohs, and they were associated with pyramids, and there were supposedly pyramids beneath of Montauk, as well as there was an above-ground one, and in the storm in the 1920s was the last time it was taken away. There was an above-ground pyramid in Montauk, and you can maybe able to find some pictures of this as well. But the rumors associated with these ancient Montauk Indians was that they worshipped blue gods. They were these blue people that were coming from beneath the ground as well. And this is why the government was doing experiments beneath Camp Hero that we've heard of in the Montauk Project, because that area alone is – there's something deep beneath the ground there that is very ancient, and our government knows about it for sure, I feel. And that's why they have an underground experiment going on beneath Montauk for – in the 70s and 80s, for sure, we think that it was going on, possibly even till this day. And not only mind control, but time travel experiments and, yeah, there might be the crickets that you hear. I have the window. I didn't know you guys can hear that. Yeah, it might be crickets you hear outside. I have the window open. I'm going to leave it now that you say that. Maybe it'll activate dimensions and portals will open, because even if you sit by a pond or in the woods and you listen to frogs croaking and things like that, it will activate dimensions in the animal kingdom, and they will open up if you get entranced on the croaking of the frogs and the sounds of the insects and the birds and everything that goes along with the swamp or the pond or whatever area you're in. Yes, the forest will activate dimensions within the animal kingdom, and you will experience the oneness of all things and the plurality of worlds within that forest. And yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, so I you know what, I had tuned it out. I wasn't even hearing the crickets, but once you guys mentioned it, I was like, wow, yeah, no, now they're loud as hell. Yeah, so so let me – we only got 5 minutes, so let me talk about – we'll wrap it up. And the next time I do a show solo, we'll get into the Mount Meru and the Golden Embryo and the Soma, because if you go to my YouTube channel, I'm going to do a video on this within the next day or two, because I've been researching it hard. And basically, Sylvanus was also known as Faunus, and – like a woodland deity. And Faunus was also known as Dianus, which is the consort of the goddess Diana, hence Diana's Mira and the goddess Diana with Lake Nemi. So basically, Dianus was a guardian of Diana's sacred grove at Nemi. And Dianus was a giant. And Caligula had temples to Diana on his barge, as well as Isis from Egypt. And He had plumbing in there and concrete and marbled walls and marbled bathroom. I mean, and this is in 1 AD or the turn of the century AD, you know? So imagine barges like that on Lake Nemi, little Lake Nemi, and guarding the portals beneath, floating over the portals beneath. Caligula on his barges, you know, guarding the portals like he owned them. And he was infected by the enchantment of these entities. And when you seek the Grigori out, you will be infected and contracts will be formed. And it's never good. If they come to you and bestow knowledge on you, it might be more of a better encounter. But if you go to seek them out and you try to get info for them or try to, you know, get them to do things for you, it never works out well. And you will become a madman and enchanted by the power, and the insanity will be infected. And those seven faces of Mulungro will appear. And it's all this magic and ancient technology is linked. So basically, Dionysus was the guardian of the sacred grove at Nemi. And he would bear the title of Rex Nemirensis, which means the king of the woods. And this amazing creature that they would call Rex Nemirensis not only protected Diana's grove, but would stand as the guard beneath the sacred oak that was key to the worship at Lake Nemi, the sacred oak tree. And it's interesting that we in my parents' backyard have like a 150-foot tall oak tree that has like faces in it and everything. I have a picture of it. I'll show you guys. But once a year, Rex Nemirensis would be challenged for the rain in ritual combat. And anyone who could break a branch from the oak tree with his bare hands earned the right to challenge the king in a battle to the death. And the one who won would be titled Rex Nemirensis. And he shall see for the whole year he will reign in great power. And the sacred king who becomes the slain god, you know. And this priesthood of Rex Nemirensis, I feel, was directly interfaced with some sort of artificial intelligence. And whole priesthoods like the Cathars and the Gnostics were involved with interacting with artificial intelligence or outside alien influence. And we'll pick this up next time. And we're with Para X Radio Network, and this is Spiral Radio. And I want to thank my producer Sarge, and I want to thank everybody out there for tuning in. And we have a question: do you think there was a reason your ancestors were brought to New York? Yeah, I think there was a reason, and we'll get into that another time. And yeah, you missed the background music in the driving conditions. Some people were complaining, buddy. But we'll pick this up next time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And once again, I say, Spiral out.